are in the midst of summer. We are missing some people, so I want to say that we are thankful for your faithfulness. Thank you for thankful for you being here today. My dad would always say, you may not always want to go to church, but after you came, you'd be glad you did. And so for me, I've discovered that that's true. But the other part of it is sometimes you don't even go to church for yourself. You go to church to be a presence and a healing for other people around you. So I want to thank you for your faithfulness in being here today and in being regular attenders. Will you join me now in a bit of prayer? Spirit of love that moves over us, shapes us, lifts us, troubles us, disturbs us. Holy healer who brings us to places where we may find our wholeness again, where we may connect with life as a child of wonder with so much to learn. Grant us the courage to run to the roar, to step into the troubled water, the places that stir us and disturb us both inside and out, that we might find healing there. Grant us an awareness of your presence bubbling up, stirring within us, moving around us and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. You know, I don't think that I ever recall use of the word unsettled has applied to weather when I was a child. I never heard it, yet over the past 10 years it seems to have become an often used word, meaning it may rain. The weather could be severe, potentially uncomfortable, messy, rapidly changing, unpredictable, dangerous, the opposite of calm. Covers a lot of territory. Now, calm is something we talked about last Sunday, as the wind and waves were calmed and stilled so that the disciples could travel to the other side with a minimum amount of fear. For a summer sermon series this year, I wanted to explore for a few Sundays at least the concept of unsettled, and to do so through the lens of some of the Bible stories and passages that speak to us of unsettled times. Now, my wish to do so comes from the feeling that so much around us now seems unsettled, stirred up, unpredictable, uncertain. Our earth, our environment, our weather, our world, our nation, our people, even ourselves. Events seem unsettled and uncomfortable, unpredictable, uncertain, not following any past patterns. And there is evidence that indicates that living in an environment that has no set pattern can lead to stress, frustration, fatigue, and even exhaustion. But I hope that looking at some of our big stories can help provide us with some strength and encouragement, and perhaps even an opportunity to find an unusual path to gaining knowledge, both about ourselves and the world around us, as well as a surprising path to potential emotional healing. Because I'm a big believer that following the discomfort, the disturbance in the soul, seeking out the sensitive places is a means of finding our growing edges and the places where emotional healing is needed. Needed in order to lead us to a greater living in the light of our better selves. Now we see this in our bodies, in the places that hurt, in the places that are sensitive. Those are the places where we need healing. It is the same with our emotional body. Our sensitivities, our touchiness, the things that upset us, the buttons that others around us can push. Here lately, I think I've discovered buttons I didn't even know I had. Some people can find those, though. Those are the things that can guide us to the places where we need emotional healing. Thus, the things that trouble us can actually become our greatest teachers. Now, I have encountered people who are forever in a state of being upset. Maybe you even know some of them. Upset far out of proportion to the incident or the moment, or upset over something that they see in another that they themselves do but are oblivious to. They are unwilling or unable to make the connection that this is an area that they themselves need to grow through. if only they were to take the leap, take the step, to make that jump into troubled waters right in front of them. There are people who resist making that connection for years, that connection between the disturbance in them caused by another and the very thing that they themselves need to face, need to get into and over for their own healing. Now, a wise teacher put it much more succinctly. When you find yourself angry or upset or troubled by someone else, pause to see what is in them that you may be able to see in yourself as a place within you that needs healing. Dina Strata offers an example in her essay, Why Being Upset by Someone May Indeed Be All About You. She says, my own son is ridiculously sensitive. I find myself telling my friends how much this drives me crazy, how much it troubles me, how much it upsets me. And in the midst of doing so, in the midst of venting, I realize I am describing myself. When my son overreacts to something that I feel is minor, I get upset, because it's a trait that I dislike in myself. So, I have learned to use him as an opportunity to try and heal that wound within me by stepping into that troubling disturbance that I feel and by showing him compassion in those moments. I ask myself, what would I want my own mother to say to me if I were upset about something, even if it seemed very minor or small to her? I know I would want her to acknowledge my feelings. I'd want her to tell me that it's okay and not to judge me. I would want her to comfort me. By showing my son this same compassion, I'm starting to let go of that judgment of sensitivity within me that I have toward myself. In this way, the person who upsets you, who troubles you, may actually become your greatest teacher. And sometimes our greatest moment of healing is found exactly in the places where we don't want to go or where we are afraid to go. Now, the story related today in Scripture occurs after Jesus had healed a child who was near death and previous to that had met a Samaritan woman at the well midday and had a long, very long conversation with her. Now, men just didn't do that with women then. That was a big deal. That was huge. And Jews certainly didn't do that with Samaritans, men or women. So we join the highly unusual and unorthodox Jesus at the pool in Bethesda, the place of mercy. Now, it's possible it could have been a Jewish mikvah, a place where Jews immerse themselves in a ritual of spiritual purity and cleansing. It's possible and even likely that it is from this Jewish tradition of mikvah that John the Baptist was dunking people, submerging them in the River Jordan. So we have someone here who has been sick for 38 years. Oh my goodness. And Jesus knew this person had been sick a long time. And so I can almost hear in Jesus' voice, do you want to be healed? Do you even want to be healed? Do you really want to be healed? How many people do you know who you just want to say to, do you even want to change? Do you want to get better? Do you want to be a better person? Do you want to grow past yourself? Do you want to be emotionally healed? Do you want to live more fully? Do you want to grow and move about in an easier and more rewarding manner? Or do you just want to lay here and rest here and fuss about others getting ahead of you? Now, maybe this person was afraid of jumping in. Maybe they couldn't swim. Maybe they were afraid of water. Maybe they were afraid of healing, change, and transformation. That's tough. Maybe they were afraid of becoming more. Or maybe they had just hung around this place, this pool, for so long that it felt like home to them, that it felt comfortable to them. And this place of healing just looked like so much trouble to them. Trouble in the water, so much work, too unsettled for them to even want to step in or even fall into. Even though it was there at that place that they would be made whole. Well, Jesus did what Jesus does. He asked if they wanted to be healed, seeking their commitment and their affirmation. You have to step forward. You have to say, yes, I want it. And then he just up and healed the person. Told them to get up, grab their mat, and go. And guess what? It was on the Sabbath. Guess who was going to get in trouble for that? Because we see a few verses later that the temple authorities began to persecute, annoy, and trouble Jesus. Like chatting up the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus was always breaking one law or another in the mind of others. But I will tell you this, there is no bad time to do good. And the Sabbath was created for humanity, not humanity created for the Sabbath. And laws are created for the good of humanity, not humanity created for the good of the law. And when a law does not serve humanity, when a law does not serve the good, then it must be changed or amended, or in the case of Jesus, disobeyed. For he was always following a higher law. Not the law as interpreted by the authorities, but rather the law, the goodness of God Almighty. And right there and then, once again, Jesus stepped into the troubled water himself. He did what needed to be done, and the temple authorities saw in him the truth of who they should be. And it irked them. It bothered them. And so they, in turn, bothered Jesus. It's okay to heal on the Sabbath. In fact, our Sabbath is a time of healing. Healing from the week. The week just passed. Healing from the days that have tumbled together headlong in a flurry and a rush of work and worry. This is a time to reconnect with ourselves and with the divine. A time to remind us of who we are. The best parts of ourselves. The best parts of ourselves before the accumulation of years, before the accrual of so much disbelief, the thick sediments of cultural fear, hatred, and shame, the sludge of cynicism, the pollution of selfish schemes, prejudice, and power and war, and the oil and slime of deception and insincerity. All of that seeming all too often to float on the surface. Not only is our eyesight, we're getting older, not only is our eyesight not what it once was, many of us have stopped seeing. Not only do we have a loss of hearing, but many of us have stopped listening. Some of us have stopped feeling. Losing feeling. Stopped experiencing with the heart. Stopped moving through the moment with the mind's delight. We may have grown and grown up, but sometimes the years have left us far less whole than we were when we began. Children remind us of who we were and who we may yet become. Children can be some of our finest teachers in life, and in a way can help us, heal us, and renew us over the spaces of the passage of time by stirring up the waters of youth within us. Our emotional healing is often found in the places where we don't want to go, in the places where we may be afraid to go, in the places that may seem troubled to us deep. This is hard work. Jumping in, perhaps, where angels fear to tread, or where angels may only tread water. Do you even want to be emotionally healed? Do you even want to be made whole? Do you want to heal your old wounds? Do you want to shed your sensitivities? wade in the water, children, and let the troubled water teach you and still your soul, so that you might be in a place of mercy and a place of healing, so that you may help heal others. So may it be.
I got a little carried away there with the palette.